Anyhow, hello folks, welcome to the broadcast. I'm your host, John Sexper, here at Revival Now. I want to talk to you tonight about don't be a DNC. Don't be a DNC. It means don't be a do-nothing Christian. The Bible simply says that it gives us the Great Commission. And it's a mandate from God to go into all the world and preach the gospel. I want to also go into a couple other scriptures here while I'm here. If you will open your Bible with me to Luke chapter 4. I mean, the entire body of Christ should know that they have a calling on their life. And there's a call to preach the gospel. It's not just for certain people, certain paid staff and certain paid this. That's laziness. That's just an excuse for lethargy. Go with me to the book of Luke, chapter 4, verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for He has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. I gotta redo this. The light got in my eyes. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for He has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim the liberty of the captives and the recovery of the sight of the blind, and to set liberty to those who are bruised, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. The power of God hit him. He survived the test of the desert, the 40 days in the desert of being out in the wilderness. He came out smelling like a rose, like he always does. And he comes into the synagogue and he goes to proclaim who he is. And people aren't, and the do-nothings are all throwing a fit over it. And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, sat down on the Messiah seat. And the eyes of all those in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, today this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. And he basically ticked off a bunch of do-nothings, basically. When you come proclaiming in the name of the Lord, the do-nothings are going to get mad. The do-nothing Christians. The ones that don't want to, that think that they're owed a position and don't want to labor in the field. They like the nice little position that they're given, but they don't want to be the ones laboring in the fields. They're basically lazies. They're a bunch of deadbeats, a bunch of dead weights that we need to, the church needs to go on a diet anyway, a huge diet. Too much dead weights hanging around the place. Put people in position that want to serve, not people, a bunch of church, a pew sitters that don't want to step out and do the work of the gospel. I'm going to tell you something. There's no, I mean, it's a, well, we're, you don't know how old, I'm in my 60s, blah, blah, blah. Give me a break. My pastor's mother is in her late 80s. Pastor Rick Shelton. Not Pastor Josh Shelton. If I said past, my pastor's mother is in her late 80s, Pastor Donna would probably come and kill me. So she has kind of an idea where I live, so I don't want to push that button. Anyway, Pastor Esther and Pastor Vernon are in their late 80s. Ladies approaching their 90s, if they're not already in their 90s, they do not have a lethargic bone in their body. They're two, you'd think they were teenagers sitting in there. You thought they was teenagers going to church. Them two are more alive than anybody more middle-aged people I've seen go to church. I mean, they are on fire. I mean, they have more energy than I do. I mean, Pastor Esther's a kid at heart anyway. Everybody knows that. She's 80-something going on 16. I am sucking up to Pastor. I am getting brownie points with Pastor Esther because I don't want to push that button either. I don't want to make her mad. I heard all the stories from Pastor Rick. Anyway, go with me to the book of John, chapter 15. I'm going to go somewhere with this. I mean, we are living in a day and age where we're running out. I don't know if you've seen the news. We're running out of time. We don't have time for games anymore. We don't have the problem is people don't take God serious. People don't believe this word. And people really don't believe God, really. It's just something to be social and to have a place socially and have a position, a social position where you're with the social elite. You might as well hang out at a tavern. I mean, seriously. I mean, a lot of Christians are on birth control. They're making love to Jesus, but they're not producing anything. And I feel like that just went over like a lead balloon. I'm serious. They're in the bedroom. Nothing's being conceived from what they're doing. Because they don't have the power of the Holy Spirit. They don't want to be around other people who aren't saved. Being a born-again Christian, I'm going to say this right now. Being a born-again Christian doesn't mean you is not Christians hanging around with Christians doing Christian things. Christians or Christians who do Christian things around people who aren't Christians that will draw them into Christianity and make them Christians. It's a domino effect. It's one thing leads to another. I mean, we've got to get out of this mentality that we're owed. That nobody in the church is owed anything. I mean, we don't want what we're owed. What we think we're entitled to. We think we deserve. You know, bless God, I should have that front row seat. I should have that blah, blah, blah. You know, thinking that they should have everything handed to them when they're really it's not even owed. I would be happy sitting up in the rear of the church and up in the balcony if we had one. Point given is stop trying to expect to be pushed forward. If you're not willing to sit in the back, you're not going to be able to handle what's given to you when you have to sit in the front. It's going to people's heads. I mean, this thing has gone on too long. It doesn't matter where I sit in that church. I mean, John chapter 15. I'm going to go somewhere with this. I mean, seriously, I'm not here to beat people up. I'm here to put a fire under everybody's rear end. This is what revival is all about, putting a fire under somebody's rear end and getting them to get out and do the work that they're supposed to do instead of just being a bunch of do-nothings, instead of laying on your rear end. John chapter 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word, and I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he bears much fruit. Not apart from me, you can do nothing. Means without him, we're dead in the water. Without the power and the presence of God, without the anointing, you're pretty much nothing, he's basically saying. And if anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. I mean, if you're going to abide in God, you're going to be doing something. You're going to be doing something. You're going to have a purpose. You're going to be getting your hands out there and doing the work of ministry. I mean, this church pew sitters is not considered ministry. And the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. If you're going to be a disciple, you're going to be a worker. It means you're going to be laboring in the field. You're going to be doing the work of ministry. It means you get out there and bring people into church. Bring people into salvation. Bring people in, develop and build that place. You are my disciples. Prove to be my Messiah. He's saying if you got to bear much fruit and prove to him that you're going to be his disciple, that you're going to follow, be a follower. Somebody's going to lay down every bit of themselves so they can allow God to raise themselves up. And as my Father has loved me, so have I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another, that I have loved you. What greater love is one that has laid down his life for his brother? You are my friends, and if you will do what I command you, no longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and your Father that your fruit shall abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another. And if the world hates you, you will know that it has hated me before it has hated you. If you were of the world, if you were of the world, the world would love you as one of its own. Because you are not of the world, means doing worldly things, doing carnal acts, Christians doing carnal acts, sleeping with somebody you're not married to, sleeping somebody that you're dating somebody and you're up on stage and singing and having affairs with. I mean, I've seen it all in churches where Christians are, they think that because they got a good gift that they should be appointed ministry positions, and that's not the case. I mean, there's plenty of bar singers that do the same thing. I mean, you're no different. And this is where he's talking about. Stop doing worldly things. Start living right. Remember that the world that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. I mean, you better be ridiculed and be ready to get bombarded. I mean, think that all hell's about to break loose. And basically saying, if they kept my word, they will also keep yours. But all these things will they do to you on account of my name, because you do not know him who sent me. If I had not come spoken to them, they would not have been guilty of sin. But now, they have no excuse. The Bible, he's sitting there saying, there's no excuse for being a do-nothing Christian. There is no excuse on this earth, on this green earth, why you're a do-nothing Christian. There's no excuse for you. You should be doing something. Do-nothing Christians, they like to gossip, they like to backbite, they like to tear other people down, they don't want to build nobody up. They think they're entitled. They don't want nobody in their circle, they don't want nobody around their social, their friends, they won't want other outsiders in. There's no excuse for their sin, and Jesus is calling it a sin. I mean, the idle hands is the devil's workshop. If I had not done among them the works that no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have seen and hated both me and my Father. But the word that is written in their law must be fulfilled, that they hated me without a cause. But when a helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witnesses from me, and also you. You will bear witnesses. It rolls over to Acts chapter 1:8. It will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. Basically, he's saying this: if you're going to be a Christian, you're going to be one. You're going to have to get out and do the work of ministry. You're going to have to be out there. You're going to have to be out there laboring in the fields. You're going to have to be out there winning people over. You're going to have to actually step out of your comfort zone and step out of the box and actually do something in ministry, not just sitting on a church pew every Sunday. Sitting on a church pew every Sunday is not doing the work of ministry. And I'm going to say this too. If you're a born-again believer, get into a Bible college. If you're struggling with finding out what call is on your life, enroll into a Bible college. Find one to enroll in. And I'm going to say this right now. Watching TBN, Hillsong Channel, and watching all this schizophrenic, if you say for better words, Christian television networks that's preaching everything under the sun, that is not Bible college. That is not stability. It is not accurate. I mean, you're only catching a little small part of what's being taught. You're catching a small part, a lot of these TV preachers out there, they're not even in the right ballpark, nonetheless, being in right field or out in left field or being out there, I mean, they're not even in the right ballpark playing ball. They're awkward. They're not accurate. They're strange fire. They're out there. They're out floating out there. They're adrift. Get out there and get into a Bible college where you're being taught the Word of God and taught how to minister to people and taught how to be set on fire to be used of God. We're not here to be do-nothings. Jesus didn't die on the cross for us to sit there in a church pew. I said, Jesus didn't die on a cross for us to sit in a church pew. I mean, some of these Christians, I mean, I had it with me. I don't know what happened to it. I had a cigarette butt I found at church. I found on a church parking lot. Example, perfect example is, I'm not trying to call people in my home church do nothing. It could have blown there. My point being is that I had it with me. I was going to use it as a prop, and I'm just using it as an illustration. I'm not going after anybody at the church because I'm not calling them it. The thing is people could walk by that. The people want to be used in ministry. Want to be used in big ministry. Well, yet they'll walk by a cigarette butt like that and not even bother picking it up. My pockets are always full of trash because when I'm walking into place, my wife has to get onto me about, like, come on, we got to get in there. I'm stopping and picking up trash on the way into the service because I feel guilty. This is my Father's house. I want to keep this place nice. So I put all the trash, I'm picking up trash on the parking lot and putting it in my pocket. Point being is, you see trash on the parking lot, pick it up. Go around, make a day where you take your family and don't even have to tell the pastor you're doing it. This is where what's beautiful about this. Get your family, get the wife and kids, say, hey, we're gonna go be a blessing to the Lord. Go pull up in a church parking lot and walk around and pick up trash and don't even tell nobody that you did it. Don't say nothing to nobody. Just pick it up every Saturday and they're like, what? How come our parking lot looks so beautiful? How come it's so well kept? We can't figure it out. And when God will reward you openly. You don't have to have this banner flying around you. Too many Christians wanting to be paraded around, and it's not necessary. Do the work of ministry, and don't say nothing, and watch the beauty of watching God give you the recognition, and watching God blossom something in you, out of you. There was like times when for like two, I begged the janitor not to tell nobody. And of course, Pastor Rick's son, Jeff, finally caught me one night, and I begged him not to tell anybody either. I begged the janitor. I said, I want to serve in the house, but I just want to do it without nobody knowing, and I don't want nobody knowing what I'm doing. Can I help you? And I kind of help you out at night after the Tuesday night services and after VLI too. And I did this for VLI too. I said, I'll stay and help. I'll pick up around here. I'll clean up, help you clean up because I want to do something for God. And that went on for years on end where I stayed after church and just picked up around the place, taking out the trash, rounding up all the trash, cleaning up the toilet bowls, scrubbing the sinks down and washing the bathroom mirrors down. It wasn't that I wanted to please a person or my pastor, which probably if he would have caught me doing it, he probably would have been blessed out of no end. This is to the heart. It's just how his heart is when he sees somebody doing that. His son, Pastor Josh too, Pastor Rick and Pastor Josh, so Pastor Tori and Pastor Donna, they love stuff like that. They love seeing, catching stuff like that. But I didn't want to do it to please, to catch, for them to notice. I wanted to do it because I wanted to please my Father. I wanted to please God. I wanted to show something and show my Father how much I loved him, that I'm willing to go around his house and pick things up. I mean, if there's trash underneath your seat, pick it up. Don't leave soda bottles, coffee cups, water bottles, and especially chewing gum. Do not put it underneath the church pew seat. Be a good steward of what God's called you to do, what God's given you. Don't be that. Don't do that. That is one thing that angers me to no end. Don't put gum underneath the seats or the church pew. That's not what that's for. We want to have beautiful things before the Lord. We don't want to have a trash pile, a church that looks run down with holes in the seats, rips in the carpet, paint peeling off the walls, half the lights are burnt out, got duct tape wrapped around the microphones to hold the batteries in. No, we want something that looks beautiful. Just like this set, everything's nice and neat, well kept. I got good looking mics here to broadcast into. I've got beautiful carpet, got decorations galore in here. Even though my wife thinks I'm a hoarder, but I have a collection deficiency. She'll buy that one. Anyway, stop being a do-nothing. We've got to step out and do the work of ministry. I mean, and if people get jealous about it, let them be jealous. People want to get mad. That's one thing I never could understand is why people who do nothing themselves get mad at other people who do want to serve. Maybe it's because you're convicted of your own lethargy. Get mad because they're serving. They act like somebody's taking something from them. Like you're stealing something from them. They're working. They're laboring in the field. Something you should be doing. I mean, offer to go work for the food pantry. Help out the food pantry. If it doesn't fit your schedule, offer to sit outside and greet people as they're coming in. Help park cars. Go help babies. Change dirty diapers in there. That being in that nursery, that is a gift and a calling because it allows the parents to be fed off the Word of God in church. And gives the parents a break during church. I mean, if you see somebody abusing property around the church, say something to them. Stop them. Get somebody to stop them. Don't sit there and let somebody walk around taking stuff and then pocketing stuff. I think I've seen this one church this one time. This lady comes in there. This was down at the River of Tampa Bay, and finally they were able to get her out of there. Thank God. She was showing up and then going to the coffee bar and getting a coffee, and she was loading up her purse with sugar, creamer, coffee stirrers. I mean, big handfuls. I mean, stealing. Downright stealing this stuff. Taking boxes of it to her car. We finally said, hey, wait a minute. You need to stop this. Finally, they asked her to leave. She was doing other stuff. She was acting weird and not doing what, and just being very questionable. So finally, they asked her to leave. But don't be stealing stuff around the church. Yeah, that's right. Sneaking behind the coffee bar when it's closed and then going sneaking you a couple cups of coffee while nobody's looking. I've seen it happen before. I've stopped it before. I mean, you got to be good stewards of what God gives you. If anything, go to the nursing homes. nursing homes, people are dying and they're going to hell. They've never repented. They've never received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior ever. And they're just dropped off there by their selfish, cold-hearted family members to just sit there and rot away and die. Go to a nursing home and see how many people you could lead to Jesus Christ. Do something. Get out there and do something. Just like that song, "It's Time to Do Something," by Matthew West. Let's do something. I'll post it on my Facebook page after the broadcast is over. We've got to get out and do something. We've got to build this kingdom. We've got to build the kingdom of God. I'm going to tell you something. Jack Harris, you would never know the man was on staff there. You'd think he was just a new member of the church coming in there. That man's been there since day one. He's done nothing but work hard. He's put bathrooms in. He's plumbed in bathrooms because he used to be a plumbing contractor. Because he's a licensed certified plumber and a boiler worker. He's done everything from worked on bathrooms. He's done everything from greeting people to ushering, doing anything he can to help Pastor Rick and Donna throughout the years. And Josh and Pastor Josh and Tori as well. There's nothing that man wouldn't ask you to do that he hadn't done himself. He's a builder. He's a builder not only of the house of God, he's a builder of the kingdom of God. He knows how to build people. He knows how to build ministers. I mean, he's held packed out crusades. I mean, and when you walk in and he's just acting like just a normal person, just like an ordinary person, not really wanting any recognition. He knows what he did. He did it for his Father in heaven. Because he's doing something. That's why he's gained the respect he has. Because he's doing something. They're doing something. They're both laborers in the field. Pastor Josh and Tori. That is a big weight on his shoulders that he placed on. And I think Pastor Josh, if you hear this broadcast, I'm going to say I'm proud of you. You are doing amazing. Leading that church. You carry it. You put on some big shoes. But you're walking in them pretty good. And I'm proud of you. I'm proud to call you my pastor. I mean, God has got a plan for Life Church. The folks at Life Church. God has got a plan. Life Church STL. God has got a plan for that church, and he's going to use it to rip St. Louis wide open with. Break St. Louis wide open in the gospel, and it's going to open up a fountain of living water. We will see a revival in St. Louis. We will see St. Louis shaken by God. I mean, the list goes on and on. Pastor Rodney Howard Brown, he's another builder of the kingdom of God. You don't walk around his church with your hands in your pockets. You belong in that church. You're in that church. He'll put you to work. They'll put you to work right now. Every time I walk in that place, they put me to work doing something. Pastor, hey John, can you help me with something? Sure. He knows he can rely on. You got to be able to rely on people. Have people you can rely on. The minute they're asked, can you do something? Yeah. Without a question, without even a thought. The words should be coming out of your mouth. Yes. God's called each and every one of us to preach the gospel of the kingdom. He's wanting to raise us all up to be one united piece. We're one united thing. We're one body, one spirit, one faith. So we're to work together and allow others that want to come and serve and help. God's raising the whole kit and caboodle up. The Bible says, in the last days I shall pour out my spirit upon all flesh. means he wants to use every single vessel that is out there. We're here to be cups. Pour out, fill up, pour out, fill up, pour out, fill up, repeat. Pour out, fill up, repeat. We've got to get and do something. We've got to step out and do the work of ministry that God has called us to do. Don't be a bunch of do-nothing Christians. I'm going to continue this on for the next 2-3 weeks and see where it goes from here. Don't be a DNC. I'm serious about that. If there's anybody that does t-shirt work, I'd like to get that printed up. I'd like to get those printed up and I'll do a GoFundMe to purchase them. And I'll get to do a GoFundMe to purchase them. I'll just buy them and hand them out at schools. Hand them out to kids at schools. They love free t-shirts. I want something cool with a hot rod on it or something. I don't want something religious. Nothing with Jesus. There's nothing bad about having something with Jesus. But sometimes when you do something cool for these kids, that lights them up. We can't be a bunch of do-nothings. I mean, today I ran into a lady that's on fire for serving God. My friend Corey's mother, Linda Queen. Her and her husband have been faithful servants in the house of God. Are they out begging for recognition? No. They know that they're just doing something to please their Father in heaven. So what's your excuse? The Bible says there is no excuse. You have no excuse. So you got a choice to make to change it. You got to change it. Change what you're doing. Change how you think. Change your attitude about how you feel about sinners coming to church. So what if they're gay and lesbian or transsexual? How else are they going to get set free if you run them out of the church? So what if they're drinking and doing drugs? How else do you get them set free? How else are you going to get them set free from what they're doing? Unless you're bringing them in. Unless you're allowing them to come to the altar. The problem is, it's not a stage. It's an altar. It's not an event. It's church service. 2, it's not an auditorium. It's a sanctuary. 3, it's not church property. It's holy ground. The church is holy ground. It's not just a building and the property. The building and the property. I hate hearing that. That's holy ground. So much laziness in the church, it makes me mad. So what if somebody's coming to church and they're dressed, some gal's coming to church and she looks like she's been walking the streets. Maybe she has been. So she needs money to feed her babies and she didn't know what to do and she's in desperation and she winds up getting convicted and walks into a church and some people start judging her for how she's dressed. So they're going to sit there and ridicule her. And run her off and run her in and let her go, let her drive her deeper, further into hell. Real good. We've got to get our heads together. Get our heads together right. We've got to start doing something and changing how our attitude is about other people. For what greater life is for a man to lay his own life down for his brother? Well, I'm going to get going here. I hope you all have been touched. run out of time here. I didn't realize how much time had passed by. Time flies when you're having fun. This is a production of Revival Now International Media Ministries. For more information on our ministries, please contact us at revivalistjfs3@gmail.com or text us at 636-368-6490. God bless you and have a great week in the Lord.